wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Bible repentance, what is it? I have in my previous message set before you your need of repentance and showed you that God has done everything possible to lead you to repent. But remember, God has never forgiven an unrepentant man, and he never will. It is to repent of your sins or else receive the punishment those sins deserve from a just and holy God who will by no means clear the guilty. I know it would be eternal punishment were God to give me what I deserve for my many sins. But repenting, I found mercy with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now how about you? You know that about yourself, right? But you have not repented. Why? It may be that you just lack the decision it took. Neighbor, you will make one of the greatest decisions of your life if you decide to repent. It's just like a criminal fleeing from justice. He's afraid, bewildered. He can't sleep. He stops at a log in the woods to reflect and decide his next move. An inward voice says, give yourself up. He knows he ought to. There's a struggle. He cannot decide. Neighbor, let me help you decide. You'll never regret it. The only thing you will lose is your pride, and that will be good to lose. Decide to repent. Give yourself up as a guilty sinner and cast yourself on the arms of God's mercy. The decision is yours to make, but I want to help you make it. Could I have visited that prodigal son of the Bible record in the hog pen, starving on the hog swill, fearfully watching the buzzards hovering in the air for their cleanup after the hungry hogs had chopped off the remaining flesh from his bones? Poor lad, bewildered, despondent, with only starvation and death staring him in the face, and with hogs and buzzards as his undertaker and pallbearers, what would I have done? With tears of compassion, I would have pled with him, lad, arise and go home to your father. There's bread aplenty at home. If he had doubted and lingered, I could have told him, but I've just come from your father. His heart is longing after you. He has everything ready to receive you. And just as soon as he sees you returning in real repentance, he will run to meet you. Neighbor, this is the news I bring to you. God loves you. He longs to show you mercy. He delights in forgiveness. Oh, sinner, repent. Repent and turn home. Turn back to God. Will you right now fall on your knees before God, right there in your home, your office, or wherever it is, and tell him in your own words something like this. Oh, God, though great may be my ignorance, I know I'm a wicked sinner, and I will repent. Please show me thy mercy for Jesus' sake. The drunkard, coming out of his liquor with aching insides, has the remorse of a flask, but this is not repentance. The young woman, wildly running around, who finds herself with child, has the remorse over the result of her sin while still lusting after his pleasures, but this is not repentance. The thief, too lazy to work, who is behind the bars, may have a regret that he got caught, but that is not repentance. For if you turned him loose, he would not work, but would plot another theft. God will never forgive an unrepentant man, for if he did, the man would only return to his old sins. If a governor were to find a truly repentant criminal and pardon him, that would be mercy, and the man might turn out a good citizen. But if a governor were to turn all the criminals loose, it would be a tragedy to the state. The story is told of a man in the death cell whose friend prevailed upon the governor to write a pardon for him. He came to the jail to present the pardon, but wisely he first interviewed the man thus, Jim, it doesn't look like you've got a chance. It looks like the electric chair for you. But if the governor were to pardon you, what would you do? The man in the cell disclosed his plan to kill the judge who sentenced him and the witness who appeared for the state. Whereupon the man left the prison, and outside he tore the governor's pardon to bits. It would be a criminal. It would be criminal to pardon such an unrepentant man. To pardon him would only make him a double murderer. If God were to forgive you before you repented, you would go deeper than ever before in those very sins. Hence, God's word says repentance and remission of sins. These two are inseparable. For no repentance for you means no forgiveness. It is true that often deceitful people may pull off a dramatic sham and pretend to repent and thereby deceive the judge, the preacher, or the church, but no one can deceive God. You must repent in all sincerity and earnestness, for God demands reality and he hates hypocrisy. Second, you must experience real Bible repentance and not just what some people call repentance. All religious shortcuts are ruled out. They will not meet God's requirements. I will not just call upon you to repent. I must now tell you what real Bible repentance is. After over 60 years of Bible study, and with special studies on all the Bible revelations of repentance, I offer this definition. Repentance is, first, that change of mind. Second, and change of heart attitude. Third, affected by the Holy Spirit. Fourth, through the divine revelations. Fifth, whereby the sinner. Sixth, takes sides with God against himself. Seventh, and turns to God for salvation. First, a change of mind. The Greek word metanoia means to change your mind. All men have the wrong thoughts about themselves, each thinking himself better than others, none thinking himself so bad as deserving hellfire forever. Whatever our thoughts, they're wrong. And God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And man's thoughts of God are bad wrong. He has a God of his own imaginations. All this must be resigned, and we must turn to the Bible with its revelations of the living God. He's a God of justice and righteousness that will never bend or yield. And he's a God of tender mercies that are so great they seem to be unbelievable. The greatest revelation of the living God is at Calvary's cross. We read, God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God's justice did not yield one inch. When his own beloved son took my place and bore my sins, God did not spare him, but smote him into the dust of death, and Christ died for my sins. And even when his son cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God did not ease his judgment. Neighbor, what will it be for you when that holy and just God of the Bible takes you in hand to give you what your sins deserve? And at that same cross, we see the tender mercy of the living God in providing salvation for such a wicked and worthless wretch as I was, do you say, and me too. So in repentance, we must each one change his mind and resign the God of his own imaginations and turn to the God of Bible revelation. The heathen man has his idol of stone, which is the God of his imaginations. And you have your idol, God of your own imaginations. Your idol, God, must be burned along with the heathen's idol. And your mind changed. This is number one in Bible repentance. Number two, repentance is a change of heart attitude. A change of mind is not enough. A man knows it's wrong to ruin his health by tobacco and endanger himself to cancer, but he loves his sinful habit and he smokes on. Repentance is a change of heart attitude. The sin that I once loved, I now hate and desire to turn from it. I long to be delivered from its power over me. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. It is not repentance in itself. Sorrow in itself is not repentance. But there is no repentance without godly sorrow. Broken hearts, tearful eyes, throbbing breasts, and choking sobs are the uncontrollable outbursts of the repentant heart. Neighbor, has God ever beheld you in this attitude of heart over your sins? Third, repentance is affected by the Holy Spirit. He alone can convict the world of sin and lead proud men to humbly seek God's mercy. The Holy Spirit is in all the world doing this work. Why then is it that some are truly repentant and others flippantly pursue their ungodly course with never a tear of repentance? The Bible answers, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. Fourth, repentance is through the divine revelations. These are varied. To the heathen, God reveals his almighty power in creation to humble them to see their own nothingness. He gives them a conscience to smite them with a sense of guilt when they sin. To all men, he reveals his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering to melt their hard hearts unto repentance. But to us, God has also given the supreme revelation of his word, the Bible. It tells us of our sin and guilt before God. It warns us of his judgment. It reveals his tender entreaty. I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Neighbor, if you are not moved to repent before all these divine revelations, you are as hopeless as hard-hearted Pharaoh. Fifth and sixth, as a sinner, he takes sides with God against himself. He condemns himself. He pleads guilty before God's court. In self-condemnation, he beats his own breast as he thus confesses, O God, thou art true. My heart is desperately wicked. My life is shamefully sinful. I plead guilty. This is the cry of the truly repentant soul, not a word of excuse or of self-justification. Neighbor, when did you experience this? When? Seventh, he turns toward God for salvation. Repentance is always toward God. As the criminal pleads guilty, he holds out his hands to the judge and says, Judge, I'm guilty. Please show me mercy. Neighbor, if you will now fall on your knees before God and plead guilty and seek his mercy, words fail me to tell you all that God will do for you. Our Lord drew from all the Old Testament scriptures just one example of repentance. It was the ideal picture of true Bible repentance. He said, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. See that king of Nineveh as he leaves his crown and throne, his kingly robes and the homage of his nobles. He calls for sackcloth to cover his naked body. He leaves the castle and out to the city dump he goes. He sits in the ashes and holds out his hands, stripped of rings and bracelets, to God as he day and night beseeches God to show him mercy. As he confesses his wickedness, his subjects follow him, and heaven sees 120,000 sinners on their faces in the ash pile, smiting their breasts and calling upon God for mercy. Our Lord Jesus Christ points all mankind to Nineveh's refuse heap to learn what real repentance is. May God now look upon you and be able to say, see how he is repenting. One night God looked down into a dark bedroom where a lad, your evangelist, was sobbing in repentance over his sins, and the light of heaven entered, and the Lord Jesus Christ held out his arms to receive me, to save me. I fell on those pierced hands, and Christ received me, and I received him. Repentance was the key that unlocked the mercy of God to me. Neighbor, wherever you live, whoever you may be, I plead with you, use that key. Repent. Let it be that sincere, that real Bible repentance, for God will accept none other. As I cry, repent, may you now decide, I will repent. May God grant it. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.